Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/BehindTheRacketPod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now,
joining me from, where are you? Brazil?
Deutschland, Brazil.
Deutschland, Brazil. The German part of Brazil is Noah Rubin, fresh off of a false positive. Congratulations on getting past the false positive, my friend.
Thanks. Yeah, I was looking a little bleak there for a second. But
yeah, you and your penguin traveling companion, Carl, going to get stuck in a hotel in Argentina there for a while.
Can we just talk about that? I started that as a joke, just to, I don't know, whatever reason. And people far more care for Mr. Carl than they've ever done for Noah.
That's because Carl doesn't talk back.
He's likable.
He's a likable human being.
Yeah, we'll go quickly because we do have things to cover on all ends. It was interesting. I mean, I know some people followed my Instagram stories, but let's just say it's not the easiest time to travel, as people know, and we're trying to. I mean, kudos to you, and you know, this is a conversation we had about geographic tennis tournaments. How many conversations I had about that in the past week, even with South Americans. I said, hey, I don't even want to be traveling to another country in South America. And I think it's proving just how difficult this is. And I'm not blaming the tournaments by any means. They're working.
Tournaments are working
their
really
asses
hard.
Off. Yeah. Their asses off to just make sure people are okay. But, you know, here, Strong and I, you know, on the Thursday of the event, he tested inconclusive. I tested positive. And was confined to our rooms at that point, not really sure, you know, with my Spanglish, what we should be doing. We got lucky enough, the tournament got a nurse out to test us that following 6 hours later after we got our tests, got a negative rapid test in about 10 minutes, and then was waiting on a PCR, which took about 30 hours. But that came back negative for both of us as well. So it's, you know, it's just one of those situations. You know, we didn't play for a few days, stuck in a room, kind of snuck out to get some food because we didn't really know how else to eat. And then once we found out we were negative, we rushed over and made sure we got a flight to Brazil, which, you know, obviously people know those escapades of my travel day yesterday, which we don't have to go into, but...
Yeah, you left the group chat. We were mocking you so much. I mean, it's that's really saying something.
I needed silence so badly. With Phil Gresk making one too many jokes, I was like, I wish you were going through this. But it's just battling the glimpses. I mean, I've worked really hard to get motivation, and God damn it, is this fighting it? Holy shit! So and during that time, I think Djokovic was hitting on Rod Laver Arena. So it's. I don't even know where to begin. All I know is that tennis is being spoken about in such a way right now. I mean, we're almost forgetting. We have a lot of friends, obviously, and I wish to be there, that are playing Australian Open qualies in a few hours from now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody fucking knows that.
I know.
You know. Nobody has any idea. Tournament.
I watched some yesterday. I watched some last night, which was actually big for me because I'm struggling not being down there. But I watched some last night. Yeah, unfortunately, our good friend Jamie Loeb was not able to get through her match last night. I watched a bit of her. I also watched some of Alex Vukic beating Alex Bublik last night, which was
It's a good win for him. First top 50 win, and another former guest of the show.
I was going to ask, yeah, what tournament? I didn't
know. Sydney. I think the 500.
Okay.
So, yeah. So there is tennis that's happening. Rafael Nadal won another title the other day. Maxime Cressy was in a final.
A final.
Of a 250. All this stuff is happening. Okay, so let's get into the Novak thing because I kind of wanted to wait until after things were settled as opposed to doing a quick podcast last week.
Right.
I don't think we're at a point where things are settled at this stage, but we are recording Monday morning here in the States. It's just about 9 o'clock Central Time. I'm going to hopefully get this out within a couple of hours. So at this stage, Novak is free, although when a little bit later today, when it becomes Tuesday morning in Melbourne, things may change pretty drastically. So whenever you're listening to this, just keep that in mind. That's where we're at in terms of the stage. But I watched a good chunk of the hearing, actually, Noah. I found it very reasonable for the judge to say Novak wasn't allowed due time to defend himself. This was improper. I actually was just like, yeah, that completely, totally makes sense. And I was just like, all right. That was the first thing I woke up to when I went through social media this morning. I'm like, all right, I mean, it makes sense. Then it's all the other stuff, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, we still have this, the question to be decided, I guess, for the Australian government remains, was it proper for him to get an exemption? I think that is actually still on the table from everything I can read. The judge said what happened and how it happened was improper. Now there is still that kind of decision about whether it's proper at all that he gets an exemption. And that's an ongoing question because so after that comes out, right, after the decision, we get the court documents released where we get from Novak himself, his timeline, that he tested positive on the 16th, negative on the 22nd. So that's from Novak himself that we get that. That's where the timeline comes in. And so then we're left with two things. One of two things happened. Either A, he forged a positive test. Mm-hmm. To make sure he got in and on this exemption of having COVID in the last 6 months. Either that, or he tested positive and then knowingly for the next 2 days went to events maskless with COVID, including one with children. Mm-hmm. One of two things happened. And I don't know which one's worse. I think I do know which one's worse. And as a parent, I think I know which one is worse for me. But I can't sit with that and be okay with this person having an exemption to get into the country. I can't. That's just so horrendously wrong in my opinion. I'm sad because this is what we're going to have to talk about. He has some tough questions to answer, and he should be put to the task here. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what happened in tennis last week. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, like, I have, like, okay, Rafa beat Max. Maxime Cressy? How the hell did that happen? Qualifying going on, and we're talking about Novak either faking a test or knowingly potentially infecting children.
I just think it's a, you know, obviously I had a lot going on. But my head's just wrapping around the fact that we're back to square one.
Yes.
Like all this other stuff, yes, kind of, you know, and I know we joked around. I forgot who took the picture, who retweeted it of Novak at customs, at immigration, you know, looking like a human. And we're like kind of feeling bad for him, you know.
Well, like, I agree. It seems like it was handled poorly.
It was handled poorly. You know, let's say he got the exemption. He's there. And then here's this guy that just looked like I have my papers. What do you want me to do?
Yes.
Now? So like it was like, okay, now we're back here. Now we're back at the point of the exemption. Why do you get it? How do you get here in the first place? And yeah, all the things that came out. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what this whole Ben Rothenberg with the QR code. I'm not sure if you saw
that. Yeah, I did see that.
Which was comical to a certain extent. But, you know, it's scary. A, it's taking so much away from what's going on in the tennis world right now, which is supposed to be positive that we have this much tennis going on.
Yes.
But it's just adding to the discrepancy between, you know, how difficult it is to continue pushing tennis forward at this stage in time. And I find myself going back to podcasts we had 2 years ago. And I'm like, not that we saw this coming, but we saw something coming, right? We saw things exploding to a point and having somebody like a Novak who's been extremely outward about the idea that he's, you know, anti-vax and he's this and he's going to, you know, figure out his own ways kind of thing. Those one or two ways, regardless of which it is not a great way for the number one player in the world to kind of be heading this up. And I don't know where I see this, but yeah, I mean, we're at a point right now where the Home Affairs Minister can basically, you know, choose to decline everything after everything that happened, and he's banned for 3 years from Aussie. And I also, you know, kind of made the joke that if Novak somehow wins his 21st slam this year, that he will never come back to Australia.
He shouldn't.
Again, is kind of my hypothesis, but we will see.
I can't imagine what the reaction is going to be like the first time he steps on court, if he's allowed to step on court. That is going to be brutal. It's going to be polarized and, frankly, sum up our political, geopolitical situation of where we're at, how polarized we all are at this stage in our lifetime, in our culture. It is going to be ugly, and that's a shame. That's a real shame. This is the happy slam, and it is going to be two sides, distinct sides of an argument screaming at each other while Novak plays somebody who's 85 in the world, who's thinking this is the best opportunity of my life to take out Novak Djokovic, probably who's not in the best head state, or maybe he's even a more ferocious head state. We have yet to see, but
I am
saddened, frankly, Noah, and I'm probably going to get the haters that you got a year and a half ago here, but I'm saddened by the fact that probably I think I've never waded into the GOAT debates, but I think on the men's side, I think Novak, I've thought he's the best player I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm saddened that this is what it's come to. And it's not surprising that this is what it's come to, because this is kind of been his trajectory. And I'm saddened that when I talk to people over the last week and a half, family and friends who don't know anything about tennis, but just want to relate to me, all they can talk about is, quote unquote, you know, my dad even said it, this idiot with his not vaxxing. This is what we're talking about. And I'm so truly saddened that that's our headline, because we have so many great stories. Rafa coming back on the women's side, Naomi Osaka coming back after what she's gone through with her mental health. Fantastic story. Ash Barty, you know, all these amazing stories, and this human being who, again, I'm going to go back to it because I think it's really crucial. What we're all talking about is a human being who's either A, forged a test, or B, knowingly had COVID around children. That's not okay.
Yeah, and I think we're through all of this, and it's super easy to overcomplicate things, but I think we have to simplify it again. And actually, Nadal said it fairly well, was the idea that you kind of put this on yourself. Like, you can be upset of how they, how Tennis Australia took care of it.
100%.
You can be 100%. You can go through everything. You can check everything off and say, hey, that was shitty. But you put yourself in this situation. You have players such as a Tennis Angren. You don't have to agree with him by any means. You and I don't agree with the anti-vax. You know that.
Vasek himself as well.
And Vasek, he stuck to his guns. He's saying, I'm not going. He's not playing. You have to respect that to some extent, that he's doing his thing. He understands the rule. He didn't play for the exemption.
I agree.
Tennis says I didn't fit anything. But here, Novak, which is what Nadal said, here, Novak, he knew what he was getting himself into.
I agree.
I mean, we have, okay, again, I'm dying laughing because we go back to the handful of players, what Tennis Australia said. Please, you had one woman double tennis player and you had one umpire or lawn judge, or I forgot what it was. First of all, though, I could only imagine the umpire touching down and saying, okay, not for me. I'm going to turn around now.
Yes.
So this handful of players is basically two.
Yeah.
And they knew what they're getting themselves into. And Novak knew exactly what was going to happen. Yes, it was handled poorly, but come on, this is all on you. You get vaccinated or you stay home or you deal with this nonsense. So I don't have the sympathy that a lot of people have. And, you know, this is, he's not the first and he won't be the last if you're dealing with this. And it's, I think the biggest problem is we got to a point where he is the greatest of our sport. He is the one that's leading it. He is the one that should have gotten a calendar slam last year. And this is the headline and will be the headline. I feel like there's going to be an asterisk next to his name. And every time the conversation comes up, it's going to be half the story of like, remember Novak? And, but it's like, oh God, like I couldn't root for him. Or, you know, do you remember like, what are we doing? You know, how is that?
It just is sad for me. It's just sad.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, and of course, I know we talked about, you know, 2021 kind of being this conversation. And now we're in 2022 is like new year, new me. And we thought things were going to change, but talk about a way to start this year. You know, I mean, we haven't even gone into the Challenger Tour. We're just talking at the top of our sport where it's usually, you know, glamorous to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So it's just disheartening. You know, it's disheartening to see that happening where, you know, a lot of those conversations are not on what they should be, is it not on helping the players that really do need it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not much to be said.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, I think in the next couple of days, we're going to obviously find out how this shakes out in terms of the political side. There's obviously still discussion, you know, locally in Melbourne. What happened between Tennis Australia and the Victorian government and the national government as Sewer Cat decides to try to make an appearance here. Hits the microphone. Nice. How that shakes out, because obviously there was a disconnect there. So that has to get sorted. What Novak, how that interacts with Novak has to get sorted. And then there's the tennis itself. Qualifying day two starts in a few hours. I'm going to go back as well. To something we talked about a year and a half ago. You mentioned how I was very big on the regional tournaments for a while. I think we also really, frankly, this is actually to a point that Vasek Pospisil made. Vasek was critical of the ATP for not speaking up on Novak's behalf. And I think we need to, once again, have that discussion about how many entities we have involved in every level of this sport. Here in, you know, as we're discussing this Grand Slam, it's an ITF event with Tennis Australia and the ITF. Is the ATP then asked to represent players? Should they be helping Novak or whomever was in that situation? I don't know. I don't have any understanding. And again, you have, I'm going to point this out again, ITF, Tennis Australia, you also have the ATP and WTA there, as you expect, right? So that's four different entities. Then you also, obviously, in this situation, have the Victorian government, the national government. What are we doing? Like,
yeah.
What the hell are we doing? Like, I mean, it's so many people. Like, who's supposed to be doing what at any one time? And I said it on Twitter, Noah, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely
exhausted. We talked about the break
exhausted.
That, you know, we both needed to take just from Twitter, even though we wanted to be updated. We're like, do we need this anymore? You know, do we need to start the year with all this negativity?
Fuck me, man. Like,
you know, and it's funny, you know, here in South America, obviously, you know, the question I get asked is like, why are you here right now? How many times I've been asked that question? And obviously it's between here and Forli. I guess I could have gone to Australia as well, just for the challengers. But Yeah, it's funny speaking to them, which I definitely know a few of them, but getting closer to South Americans, we don't interact quite as often with like a larger group of them, just geographic wise. And it's funny, they know it. And they were asking me questions like, what do you think about this, Noah? It was actually sweet of them. But, you know, going into the conversations and kind of just laying it out for them of like, hey, there's tournaments going on in Foreley in Australia and this, and we're all in the same, we're playing for the same stuff, but it's around the world. And what does that mean for us? And where's the protection? And who's helping us out while basically the conversations with them, you could just see their eyes be like, shit, we're kind of alone. I'm like, yeah, a bit, you know, and that's where it's at. And so of course, Novak's in the situation. He's going to get all the publicity. He's going to get all the help. But we're here right now. And I was, you know, Strong and I were stuck in a hotel, and, you know, people like a Denis Zivkovic, who cares and was working his ass off at 3 a
player representative.
Morning,
you
know, a player representative for the ATP. Who's, you know, working his butt off for us. He's in Australia, 3 a.m. And yeah, the tournament was helping, but we felt lost. And I'm not saying it's the same situation as Novak, but, you know, my high school Spanglish is, you know, was only helping me so far. And we're like, where's our meal going to come from? What are we doing? And you're just like, why am I doing this? You know, if other people aren't going to help me and I'm working my ass off to help myself, but it only seems like it gets me that far. What are we doing here? So as lost as Novak feels, he has the support of basically presidents and countries and prime ministers everywhere. And
yes. This is a good point, a good time to point out again, we're learning more about the refugee situation in Australia and how there are people who have been there for 9 years, which is again, just shocking. But again, it's helped bring some awareness to that plight. But you're absolutely right to the point that Novak is going to be fine, regardless of what happens in the next week, tennis wise, government wise, Novak's going to be fine. Those refugees are probably not, you know, that on the political side, challenger level players right now and below are really struggling.
Yeah. I mean, just say if one of the qualifying players was in Novak's position, yeah, we'd be talking about it. It would be handled, but we'd be talking about Australian Open qualities right now.
Yeah,
that's what we would be talking about. So, you know, it just goes, you know, hand in hand with everything. And again, we knew this was going to happen in some way.
You knew it was going to happen as soon as he posted in our group chat. Yeah. As soon as he posted that post on Instagram, what did I say? What did I say about how it was just down. That is just setting up for just chaos in the next few days. And sure enough.
I mean, and you know, it's, you know, him hitting on Rod Laver Arena.
My gosh. Smart.
It was interesting. It was kind of like, you know, planting the flag on the
absolutely
moon. And it was like, hey, I'm
come get me
here right now. Yeah,
come get me, motherfuckers.
Yeah. And, you know, we could laugh at it. And it was like, oh, that's a big baller move right there, or whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, it's like, fucking hell. Like, what are we doing right now? Like, how is this real life? And, you know, I tweeted out, which I really tried not to, and I really tried hard not to tweet out in the past week, but just the sense of mainstream media when it refers to tennis has only been substantially negative.
In the States. We should point that out. Yeah.
Yeah, in the States, which, again, is a big deal. And you're looking at this and you're like, where do we go from here?
I know.
How do we get everybody together? We want to get all the players together. And this is
no chance. Happening. No chance. I mean, you see it on social media, just how many players are. Good for you, Novak, you know, this morning. And I mean, I will say this. I received a couple of texts when I woke up this morning from players in Australia who are hurt. Yeah. Who are frankly hurt that Novak was there practicing. I empathize. I don't have a good answer.
The one thing I say, I know we had conversations probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago about the fact that I think a lot of players focus on their tennis, try not to think about what's going on. I think we're at a point now where they can't not think about it. So I think we're at a moment where they are, and to see them think about it and be like, oh my, like to see the reaction that we've been like hoping to get for so long, the reactions we've been feeling, and then you see them like, I don't really know what side to support. Like, what do we fucking do? And I was like, oh, welcome. Please come in. It's nice and cozy in here. But I don't.
I feel like we should point out, and I want to wrap up because I know you've got to try and focus on your tennis here for this week. And it's Monday morning, and I actually want to have a productive day. The PTPA, boy, this is not going to, this doesn't help. Novak making those choices, it's not going to help. Now, it feels to me like it's going to be a very polarized group. And that's, I think that's disappointing because I think the idea of the PTPA in general is very important. I frankly, to Vasek Pospisil's point of where is the ATP, you know, to support and help Novak, there should be a body, there should be an entity within sports, within tennis, that looks out and is the player's, you know, looking out for the player's best interest alone. You know, in baseball or NFL, you know, we hear in the NFL about the NFL Players Association. If there is a legal situation involving a player, they are immediately there to help. There should be an entity within tennis who is doing this. And I know you had a player representative helping you through your situation as best, but there should be a organization, a group specifically for players in situations like this at the forefront. The PTPA is not going to be it if Novak is in the lead. I just don't think that's it's going to get enough support because he has become such a polarizing human being. Let's end it there, but say this. I'm very excited that it's qualifying week. Qualifying week of a Grand Slam, it remains my favorite week of the Slams. I like the fact that I'm going to go, it's going to, when 6 o'clock Central Time rolls around tonight, I'm going to have choices of what to watch, choices of which matches I get to watch, which is really fun on ESPN Plus tonight. And so I'm excited about that. Maxime Cressy is a fucking phenomenal story. That's so, like, all the credit in the world to that guy from going to from bottom of the lineup at UCLA to consistently working on a very specific craft to get to a point that he's in a 250 final. Amazing. That is absolutely stunning that he's able to do that. Rafael Nadal back in a final again. Gael Monfils back in a final again. Naomi Osaka seeming to enjoy tennis again is outstanding for our sport. That is exactly what we need. She is such a transcendent person in our sport, and I'm happy about that. You're playing tennis, and I heard you yell "Come on!" last week. I heard you yell "Come on!" last week, and I wasn't even watching what was happening. I had it on as I was doing things around the house, and I was just like, "Oh shit!" I'm excited for that, and I'm going to say that all of this negativity, Novak stuff has been difficult, but fuck, I'm excited to see you play tennis again, and I'm excited to see all these people going through qualies, fucking fired up, man. Let's focus on that as best we can through all of it. End rant.
I'm not even going to say anything after that. That was well done. Thank you. That was well done.
Find us a guest for next week, will you?
Yeah,
find somebody from down there, and we'll try to have a good talk about tennis and origin story from somebody down in South America with you.
Walk into breakfast, Nicolas Moreno. What the fuck happened to you? I don't fucking know.
What's funny is I actually say that to myself every morning.
I look in the mirror.
What the fuck happened to you?
What happened to you?
Enjoy South America. And for all of you at home, stay positive. We'll talk to you next week.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.